Good morning and welcome to everybody once more. And just to let you guys know, I'm still the same Samuel, even though I do not have my beard. So just in case you guys have forgotten what I look like without a beard, here it is. So can you please join me and read with me in the book of Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. I want to share with you something that has been on my mind for a few weeks now, and it's a very special theme, and it's a very important message, and that is the message of salvation. Salvation is something that we preach and something that we as Christians live by, to know that it was God's grace and God's mercy, and that is the reason why we are here today and get to speak about him. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 starts like this. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18. Thorns also and thistles shall they bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And may the Lord bless his message this morning. Starting off with the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, we see God and Adam, as well as Eve, even though I'm not going to go in detail as to what God spoke to Eve, but the conversation that God had with man. And his conversation was this, that Adam had sinned against God. Adam had disobeyed the commandment that God had spoken unto him, which was, out of that tree thou shalt not eat. And then God tells Adam something very important. He tells him, cursed is the ground for thy sake. God didn't say, cursed is the ground because of me. God said, cursed is the ground because of you and because of the sin that thou had committed before me. And in this passage, we see a curse. And in this passage, we also see sorrow as well as hard labor. Verse 18 tells us that thorns as well as thistles shall they bring forth to thee. It's interesting enough that the curse and the fruit of sin began to appear. If we look back at the Garden of Eden, and if we remember the story about the Garden of Eden, we notice that in this garden, there weren't trees, herbs, or fruit with thorns. But because of sin, thorns, as well as thistles, began to appear on this earth. As well, we understand by reading this simple verse that thorns and thistles are part of that curse, are part of that sin. And we can see that these two things are associated with sin itself. It's associated with man's disobedience towards God, and its result was a cursed ground, sadness, frustration, shame, sweat when we labor and work, as well as death. Those are all the productions and the things that sin hath produced. We also see in these brief verses a sentence from God. We also see a curse on the ground. But you know something else that we see in these verses is God's grace. Oh, my dear friend, God's grace is the following: that He could have condemned Adam and Eve, that He could have rebuilt this world that we now live in. He could have started everything anew. But He didn't do so because He loved man. He didn't love the sin that man had done. But God in His grace and mercy still loved that which He had created. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 tells us, "But where sin abounded, where sin had increased, where sin had multiplied," the verse doesn't just end there and leaves us with that stamp of sin. No, it tells us, "But where sin abounded," the verse also says, "grace did much more abound." Oh, the grace of God is something to admire and something to appreciate. To know that we were lost in our sins, to know that we deserved the condemnations of our sin, to know that we deserved hell itself, God managed. And not only managed, God showed and gave us His grace. Oh, such a beautiful grace it really is that God has towards you, as well as He has towards me. God's grace. And you know something very, very special is that today you can also find yourself in God's grace. And you may ask, how in the world, in a world that is full of sin, in a world that is full of hatred, in a world that despises God, how is it that we can find forgiveness before God's eyes? Oh, my dear friend, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love is found in Christ. Please accompany me to read in the New Testament in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Years have passed since Adam and Eve sinned, and the world is yet populated. And remember that verse that we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, how sin had abounded? So did the grace of God. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26. It says, "Then released He," speaking about Pilate, "then released He Barabbas unto them. And when He had scourged Jesus," that word scourge means they beat Him. How we say that expression, they beat Him to a pulp. They beat Him nonstop. They beat Him with so much hatred in their eyes. "And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified." Verse 27. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns," you remember that word that we read in Genesis, that word thorns? Well, guess what? Here also does this word appear. It says, "And they plaited a crown of thorns. They put it upon His head. And a reed in His right hand." Pay attention to what the soldiers did after. First, they put a scarlet robe. Then, they put a crown of thorns. And after, they put a reed on His right hand. And if that wasn't enough mockery, look at what they did next. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And if that wasn't enough, just look at what they did next. And they spit upon him and took the reed from his right hand and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. My dear friend, my dear listener, reading these verses and pausing after every single word, if it doesn't hurt your heart the way it hurts mine, then I don't know what to tell you. Here we see a loving Savior. Here we see a man willing to put everything on the line for you, as well as for myself. Here is a man that stood a trial where they brought false witnesses before him, where they shamed him, where they beat him, where they covered his eyes and punched him, and they laughed and said, "Tell us, Lord, who was the one that struck you? Tell us, where is your father now? Tell us, are you truly the Son of God?" He stood before a governor. He stood upon a trial. And even still, he stood with all those soldiers. And as we heard in prayer this morning, we can see the hatred, the despise of all these men. We can see the pure hatred of sin itself, having the Son of God, having the Savior of the world itself before them. And instead of adoring him, instead of worshiping him, instead of loving him, you know what they do? They strip him. Do you know what that word means? That means that they took the clothes that were on his body, ripped them apart, threw them on the ground, and left him completely naked. They humiliated him in front of all those soldiers. And if that wasn't enough, which clearly it wasn't enough, the Bible states that they put a scarlet robe on him. Do you know the significance of that color? Scarlet? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us the following. "Though your sins," says the Lord, "though your sins be as scarlet," the verse says afterwards, "they shall be as white as snow." Oh, that scarlet robe was to ridicule the Son of God. That scarlet robe that was placed upon him were not robes of royalty. We're not robes giving unto a king. It was robes that signified your sins as well as mine. It was our sins, my dear friend, dressed and formed as a scarlet robe that were placed upon him. It was your sin as well as my sin that were placed upon him. And if that wasn't enough, if our sins weren't enough to be placed upon his body, guess what else was placed upon his head? They plaited a crown of thorns and a reed in his right hand. They mocked him, spat on him. They took the reed and smote him on the head. How many times have you heard about the crucifixion? How many times have you read it? How many times have you watched clips of a so-called Jesus being on a cross? I can tell you this much, my dear friend, that person on those videos, that person on those films, it's not Jesus. Because if it were Jesus, fear and shame would enter our hearts. Isaiah says that his face was disfigured. His face did not look like you and ours, you or mine's. His face was unrecognizable. Meaning that the person who looked like Jesus, the person who was Jesus, the person who Judas kissed on his cheek, after the soldiers had brutalized him, his face truly did not look the same. His body, covered with lacerations, covered with bruises, a scarlet robe on his back, and a crown of thorns upon his head. Oh, my dear friend, they weren't little thorns like the ones you find in roses. No, they were big thorns. And do you honestly think that they just placed it upon his head like this in a simple manner? No, my dear friend. They placed that crown of thorns with so much hate that they cut and wounded his head. Our Savior deserved much more than that. He deserved a robe of royalty. He deserved a crown of jewels, of diamonds as big as the eye can see. But instead, he received a crown of thorns, studded with his blood. And if that wasn't enough, a reed on his right hand. And with that reed, they beat his head once, twice, three times, multiple times. And if that still wasn't enough, they spat on him. Do you know how disgusting it is to have spit on your face? Now imagine all these soldiers spitting on the face and on the body of this one man. And you know what? If you or me were in that place, we would have said something. We would have done something. But guess what? He stayed there. And he took it all upon himself. A scarlet robe, a crown of thorns, a reed that they used to bash him. And if that wasn't enough, they bent the knee and said, "Hail the King of the Jews." My dear friend, did you know that crown of thorns that he wore was the curse of sin? Did you also know that my crown, my sin, my sentence, my punishment was placed upon him? Did you also know that not only were my sins placed upon him, but yours as well? And not only your sins, not only my sins, but the sins of the world as well. And even the sins of those soldiers that mocked him, that brutalized him, that hated him. He was there suffering, carrying their sins. But like I said before, not only was there a sentence, not only was there a judgment, but we find the grace of God. And we find the grace of God in that loving person of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us, "Who for us hath him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made," listen to this word, "us that are complete with sin, us who live and dwell in sin." He was made sin for us, so that you and I can find righteousness before God. Oh, and did you know that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for you and me? For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Oh, my dear friend, he took upon himself our curse. He took upon himself our shame. He took upon himself a punishment that he rightfully did not deserve. And yet, he took it all. And never, ever in the scriptures do we hear him complaining. Never in the scriptures do we hear him say, "Father, condemn them, for they deserve it." No. What you hear from his voice is this: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, my dear friend, can you show me a greater love? Oh, my dear friend, can you show me a far better grace? Can you show me where in this world can we find mercy like the one that we find in Christ? I can tell you this much: there is no way that this cursed world can offer me what Christ has already offered. My dear friend, that is salvation. A gift, a wonderful gift, a heavenly price that was paid for you and myself. Something that we truly do not deserve, but something that was given unto us by God the Father through Christ the Son. I leave you this morning with this. Dear listener, we read that verse in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. But I never read to you how that verse starts. That verse says the following: "Come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. That curse that belonged to you and me was placed upon him. He took our place on that cross, taking upon himself our sins, our delinquencies, our transgressions." And I ask you this question: are you ready to reason with God? Or will you continue to deny him, reject him, mock him, and carry the curse of sin upon yourself? Oh, my dear friend, what will you do with such a great salvation? What will you do with such a loving Redeemer that he gave it all for you? Oh, my dear friend, I leave you with this. Come to Christ. Accept Christ as your Savior, and he will save you. Let us pray.